So the reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. And you can find that on page 1131 of the Church Bibles. So that's Romans chapter 4, verse 13 through to the end of the chapter. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be grace, that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm not sure why it says listening at the bottom of the screen. It seems a little bit scarier, doesn't it? I think it's just recording. I want to start with a question. It's this. How can we be sure? We're going to be talking about assurance today. How can we be sure? If you ask the average person on the street, they'll definitely, kind of after a little bit of time, realise that they can't really be sure of anything because, you know, truth is relative. An empty kind of Disney hope, a hollow hope for the future, well, that's kind of their best option, really. But, you know, we're Christians. How can we, as Christians, be sure? Surely we can be sure. Now, I bet if I asked you to put your hand up, don't do it, but if I asked you to put your hand up, if you believed that you were going to go to heaven when you die, I think most of you, nearly all of you, would put your hands up. Actually, the stats don't lie. A 2017 survey found that almost two-thirds of Christians struggle with their assurance of their salvation now or have in the past. And I think, to be honest, maybe that last third wasn't kind of as honest as they could have been. Do you ever lack that assurance? Assurance that you are saved, that Jesus has forgiven you? I'll be honest, I have. In the past, and you know, I've actually talked to a number of people here who have struggled with assurance. You might just struggle with in a crisis, you know, a scary health diagnosis. Will I be okay? Or just when life is falling apart, what's going to happen? Will I be all right? Or perhaps it's just that kind of constant nagging thing that's always just in the background. Have I got my sins forgiven? Is God really close to me today? You know, I don't really feel close. Is he? And I think lacking assurance really weighs us down as Christians. You know, like a, I think it's like a weight around our neck sometimes, isn't it? Sapping your joy in Christ and your boldness to live for him. Well, you don't really feel like there's much boldness when you're not sure. Let's come to the Bible. Meets us in the middle of our doubts. Over the past few weeks, we've been in the book of Romans. We've been seeing these wonderful things about the gospel of Jesus and what it brings. Sins forgiven. So, small summary. Sins forgiven. Life forevermore. New status. That's that word justified that keeps coming up. God sees you as righteous. But how tragic would it be if we're told that these promises are ours, but we wonder, are these really for me? Are these really for me? A big take home today. We can have assurance. We really can when we look away from ourselves and look to God. So firstly, let's look away from ourselves. If you put down your Bible, just turn back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, back in the Old Testament, God made a promise to a man called Abraham, a nation, a land and a blessing. And Abraham couldn't get it by law keeping. By his performance. He had to receive it by trusting in God's promise. And it had to be by faith. That's what it says, verse 14. Verse 14. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless because the law brings wrath. You see what that's saying? Like, if God's promise relied on our law keeping, we'd fall short because we can never meet his demands. All it would give us, in the end, we'd be heirs of wrath. Verse 16, therefore, the promise comes by faith. Just summing up what he's saying. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to Abraham's offspring. The promise rests on God's gracious faithfulness, not our performance. To receive his promises, we look away from ourselves, we throw off that precious, what we sometimes think is precious, yet imperfect performance record. It ultimately weighs us down, it condemns us, and we fully rely on him. Because he guarantees the promise, verse 16. It's guaranteed on him. If you're new here today, let me tell you, this is what distinguishes Christianity from everything else. You know, the hallmark of today's culture, what is it? Well, you perform really well, you get the reward. But the good news of Jesus, faith in the gracious promise of God, not your performance. And that guarantees that you'll get what you've been promised. Faith. This is just a lifeline for our assurance, isn't it? God promises to us sins forgiven, life forevermore. Well, they don't depend on how amazing your prayer life has been this week or how close to God you think you are this week or how many quiet times you've done this week. Very little assurance is found in our performance. We fail. So God says, trust me. I will guarantee what I've promised. For free, by grace. But as great as that is, that's only half the story. What we're going to be seeing today is that rock solid assurance lies not just in the promise, but in the God who makes that promise. Not just in the promise, but in the God who makes the promise. Look away from yourself to the resurrection God. Now, Paul says, a case study in trusting in this amazing God. Abraham again. He comes back to Abraham. God's first promise to him was offspring, to have children. But it was all by kind of all appearances. It was impossible. Why? Because it required a God who can bring kind of life out of death. And actually, Paul casts it in those sort of terms. I'm not kind of putting that on the text. Have a look at it yourself. Abraham had to face the facts, verse 19. His body was as good as, what does it say? Dead. Since he was about 100 years old. And his wife, Sarah's womb, was also as good as dead. Face the facts, Paul says, in regard to producing a child, those 100 year olds were as good as dead. Life from a dead womb, 0% chance. But then here's the confusing thing. Have a look at verse 20. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being what? Fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Fully persuaded. Are you joking? Fully persuaded. How and why was Abraham so sure? Verse 17. Which God did Abraham believe in? Halfway through the verse, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. The resurrection God. Abraham believed in that resurrection God who brings everything from nothing. So of course he can bring a dead promise to life. Now he calls into existence the stars and the planets, everything. And as Abraham looked up at the stars, as God was pointing to them, as he was making that promise, well, he knew that God really could keep his word. He knew he could trust him with a resurrection moment, like bringing offspring from a dead womb. This helps us, I think, to be just so sure. You know, like Abraham, our assurance isn't this subjective thing. This is really important to get this. Our assurance isn't subjective. It's not based on how you feel or how you think you're doing. But it's rooted in the objective. What do I mean? Well, it's the factual reality that God is the resurrection God who can bring everything from nothing. So the promises he makes are certain. They will come true. You really can know that you are saved if you trusted Jesus, because the resurrection God said so. The resurrection God said that. Look, promises are only as good as the one making them, aren't they? But this God is making them to us. So we have every reason to hope. Before I move on, I want to just ask to notice something about Abraham's faith. I mean, there's lots we could say about Abraham's faith, actually. Lots we could learn, like how, you know, irrational it was. It was fully persuaded, but it didn't go off appearances. Or, you know, there's lots we could say about Abraham's faith and how he got stronger. You know, the strength came from the more he looked at God and gave glory to God. Verse 20. But did you notice verse 19? Look at it. Abraham didn't weaken in his faith. Now, if you know anything about the Abraham story in Genesis, you'll know that that is a very bold claim that Paul is making there. He didn't weaken in his faith. I mean, shortly after hearing the promise, what did Abraham do? Well, he slept with a younger woman, Hagar, to bring about the promises his way, to make sure there was offspring, taking God out of the picture. But actually, despite all that, the way that Paul looks back on Abraham, amazingly, is to say that he didn't weaken in faith. Isn't that kind of crazy? I think this teaches us something vital about faith. I think faith in God, it really goes up and down. If you look at Abraham's life, well, it's not a perfect picture, is it? What mattered wasn't the perfect, doubtless, quality of the faith, but the general direction of his life. But I think, don't we see even more clearly that just it wasn't the quality of Abraham's faith that saved him? See that? It wasn't the quality of his faith that actually saved him. But rather the God he put his trust in. One of my favourite memories actually is with my daughter Daisy. She's 3 years old. It was 2 summers ago. And it was our first time kind of in the sea together, in the waves, pushing her up and down. And for her to kind of have assurance that the waves weren't going to sweep her away, well, she could try and grip onto me with all her might. But I think the reason she felt safe, because I was holding on to her, the stronger one. Her grip was weak, but I wasn't going to let go. In the same way, we don't hold on to God with our faith. He holds on to us with his power. Our faith is just the channel by which we can rely on the resurrection God to deliver us. He clings to us. Isn't that good news? Praise God that we are not saved by how good our faith is, or how much faith we have in our own faith. Faith isn't something we kind of contribute, is it? It's not a work, it's not a thing we do. We're opening our hands to God and we're dropping everything. And we're saying, you do it, I trust you, you're the resurrection God. So how can we be sure? Well, it's based on objective facts about God. Who he is, he's the resurrection God, and we can rely on him to deliver on a promise. But there's even more to this. Because wonderfully, we can be even more assured than Abraham was. Can you believe that? We can be more sure of our salvation than Abraham ever was because of the resurrection of Jesus. Have a look at verse 21. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Verse 22, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. Who? For us who believe in him, not the promise, who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is it. The risen Jesus, well, he gives us rock solid assurance in our salvation. Well, why is that? We are in a very different position to Abraham. He was looking forward. All the Old Testament saints were looking forward to God's promises to be fulfilled in the future. Offspring, land, blessing, they were future for Abraham. But what do? Well, we look back on a promise that's already fulfilled in Jesus. The risen Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Now, he is the promised offspring, isn't he? In him we find rest and new creation. In him we find blessing. All of God's promises, in another part of the Bible, all of God's promises find their yes and amen in him. So our faith isn't mostly about waiting for future promises. It is that as well. But we're mostly trusting in a promise already fulfilled, achieved in Jesus, the risen Jesus. Sins forgiven, well, that's done because Jesus rose from the dead. Promise fulfilled in him. Your new status in Christ, secure. New creation, well, that's actually dawned in Jesus, even though we wait the full experience. Well, that future hope of that full experience, life forever with God, a place with no tears or pain, that's certain because Christ has risen from the dead. And why is that certain? Because the resurrection in itself secures the promise achieved at the cross. Why? Because it shows us that nothing, not even death, can shake God's promises. Do you see that? Justification, sins forgiven, was achieved at the cross. but it was proved to be secure at the resurrection. Our hope is unshakable because of the risen Jesus. So if you want assurance, everybody, if you want to know that God does not for one second hold sins against you, if you want to know that God loves you despite how you feel about him, if you want to know that you are justified and have a brand new status, righteous forever, if you want to know that you have an eternal, secure future, which cannot be knocked off course by health scares or money worries or job security, if you want to know that there's hope in despair, life after death, if you want to finally throw off once and for all that nagging feeling that I don't know what's going to happen, remember that Jesus lives. Jesus lives. God raised Jesus. The promises are secure. The risen Jesus is the anchor to the ship of our uncertain life, isn't it? We might be crashing around the waves above, but kind of feeling like we're drifting off course. But then we remember we have the anchor that Jesus lives. In reality, we are secure. In reality, we have the kind of resurrection faith, actually, that can give us more assurance in our salvation than anything else in the world. God has, past tense, raised Jesus from death. You have every reason to be sure when you look at him. It's the proof. Isn't this far better than the hope that the world offers? You know, the best of hope the world can offer is just, you know, hope for the best. Hope for the best. But as a Christian, when you look away from your performance yourself to the all-powerful resurrection God who can not only keep his promise but has kept his promise, you can have real assurance. The way I'm thinking about this is, you know, that the offer of real assurance, real joy, real freedom in Christ, well, it's held out to you today to take for free in the risen Jesus. So see him afresh. Reclaim what is rightfully yours. Reclaim the spectacular privilege of experiencing what Jesus has won for you in the gospel. Certain forgiveness, a new status, eternal life. It's yours for the taking. Listen to these amazing words and this hymn that I used to sing in my home church when I was growing up. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you keep your promises. Father God, we praise you that you are the resurrection God who brings everything out of nothing. Thank you that that means you keep your promises. Father, we thank you that you raised the Lord Jesus from the dead as proof that the promises are fulfilled, that we can have assurance when we look to him. Father, please help us to reclaim what is ours and to experience how good it is to know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.